All right, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Christine.
And I'm Christine.
And this is
The Scathing Serpent.
All right, so let's just jump in. I think that Christine said that she wanted to clarify some things from the last episode.
Oh, yeah, so in the first episode where we discussed the unpopular Harry Potter opinions, mm-hmm. and they were talking about Dumbledore, and I was saying that Dumbledore wasn't uncaring. I think the word that I meant to use was careless, because that was the word that they used in the article, and I associate careless with lack of thought towards, like, planning and stuff, which Dumbledore thought through everything.
Yes.
But uncaring, he definitely had a degree of uncaring, because, like, you know, he left Harry with the Dursleys, regardless of what reason he left him with. He left them.
Right.
He left him with them. It's not a caring thing to do, so I just wanted to clarify that I think careless implies lack of thought towards planning of actions, not the actions themselves.
All right. So without further ado, this is episode 3. So today, the first thing that we're going to talk about is the upcoming, or maybe by the time you're hearing this, the present HBO Max or Max TV series, and our thoughts on that. For me, I just want to, like, put out there, because I know J.K. Rowling is involved in it. She's going to be a producer, I believe. And I know there's a lot of controversy around her. And so just, I want to say, like, my whole thing about that is, like, I personally don't agree with, you know, her thoughts and feelings on the trans community. And, I know that some people can't get past that, and they can't, like, do anything Harry Potter when it comes to that. To me, I feel like there's a certain amount of separate the art with the art from the artist when it comes to things like that. And, you know, however you approach Harry Potter going forward is, you know, up to you. But that's just, like, what I want to say on it. I feel like I couldn't really be silent about it. So that's what I'm going to say about it. That said, regardless of all that, I'm not really interested in watching the show just because I don't care about this. But anyway, that's just what I wanted to say about that.
I mean, do I think it's necessary? No. But am I going to watch it? Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
Because I want to know, like, I'm curious to see what they're going to do when they are actually going to take the entire series and not have to chop out a bunch of stuff for the sake of a movie runtime. Would I have preferred them to do a TV show about something else in the Harry Potter universe, you know, like Harry's parents? Yeah, because that's what I've wanted since I was 17 years old, probably younger.
Yeah.
But that's clearly not going to happen. So I'll take what I can get. But yeah, I don't think the series is necessary, but I am still going to watch. Also, you want to know something else that's not necessary, but it's going to happen anyway? Twilight TV series. Because the Deathly Hallows was split in two, so Breaking Dawn had to be split in two. Harry Potter's getting a TV series. Twilight's got to get a TV series. And you can bet your ass I'm going to hate watch the shit out of that. Because
that
just sounds like a good time.
I can see us getting together with our friends and just, like, hate watching it.
Oh, it'll be so much fun.
Talking the entire way through and, oh man.
Like,
yeah.
What we did with the original movie series.
Yeah.
Because our friend Nick is very into vampire lore and was having a breakdown for 5 movies straight about it, and it was delightful.
If you know our friend Nick, you understand why watching him hate watch other things is just a grand old time.
He already said he's gonna hate watch the TV series.
Love that.
I love it.
Love that. But anyway, before we completely go off topic, so I got this info from the article
on Deadline,
the website Deadline,
written by Tom Tapp.
Another Tom! Hey, Tom.
We've had a lot of Toms writing about Harry Potter.
Because I honestly didn't really know anything about this. So apparently it's going to take place over a 10 period.
10 seasons.
10, yeah. 10 seasons. I really want to know how they're going to achieve this.
My thought is, like, the first three books are very easy to keep to a single season each. Because if you're thinking, like, if they're doing a standard 22-episode season, which isn't standard for streaming services, but it is standard for cable. And like, I think the first book is only about 22 chapters. So it actually is very easy to keep those ones
into single seasons. If that's what they're doing, because that's usually, like, that's like sitcom standard. And I can't see this being like a...
Supernatural was a 22, 23 episode series. So is Gilmore Girls. So are a lot of things.
That's all, but that's also, too, that's also cable. That's a CW.
Yeah.
But but also, too, like, and as I read, they're not including Fantastic Beasts, which would make sense for it to be 10 seasons.
But it wouldn't, based on the timeline of when Fantastic Beasts happens, that's pre-Harry Potter. And that's not just, like, a few years before, that's significantly pre-Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I'm very sad the Fantastic Beasts movies aren't continuing, because I didn't want to watch them, and then I was like, oh, well, I have access to my mom's HBO Max account now. I'm going to watch them.
Right, right.
And Eddie Redmayne is just so freaking adorable.
I still haven't seen him, so. I do like him. Oh, I liked him in Les Mis.
I mean, I hate his character in Les Mis.
No, I hate his character.
But I love him.
He was adorable.
I was going through an Eddie Redmayne renaissance a few months ago, where I just wanted to watch everything about him, and he just has the most delightful voice.
Yeah.
Can we cast him as somebody else in the TV series? Who could we cast him as? I vote him as the new Professor Lupin.
He would make a great Lupin, actually.
Although he might be too old, because he's almost 40, and Lupin was early 30s. Not that that stopped them from casting David Thewlis.
No,
who,
no.
I don't know how old he was when he played Lupin, but he definitely... I can't answer that, because I was 13, 14 when that movie came out, so of course someone in their 30s was going to look really old to me.
Okay,
and now,
but can we talk about, though, like... how Lillian James were supposed to be, what, 21?
Yeah.
And in the movie, they were easily 50.
They definitely weren't 50. Now, I'm going on to IMDb now, so I can look up their ages, because I... Continue talking.
Okay,
I'm looking
up
ages.
So, and then the article also talks about how it's gonna air in 2025 to 2026. So there's a bit of time before we get to actually see what happens. And so far, from what I looked up, there isn't any actual news about who's going to be in the cast. I had heard that Adam Driver was going to be playing Snape, but I don't know if that's confirmed. Although I can see
that's definitely a rumor. I could totally see it visually. I just associate him with Kylo Ren, one of the biggest man babies to come out of the Star Wars universe.
Hello!
Wait!
That's perfect!
But is Adam Driver American or British? Are they going to stick with only casting British people?
I think he's British.
Honestly have no idea where Adam Driver is from. Stop laughing at me.
I don't know either. I
Oh, hell, Lily Potter, the actress who played her, Geraldine Somerville, was 34 when when she filmed Sorcerer's Stone.
Huh. I don't know. I thought she looked older.
I was 11 when Sorcerer's Stone came out. Of course she looked older.
See it until I was like 20 or something.
I can't find the guy that was cast as James. What the heck?
Anyway, but yeah, regardless of the J.K. Rowling, no good J.K. Rowling, whatever, I just feel like it's very unnecessary. Enough with the reboots. Everything is a reboot right now. I feel like it can either, could be really, really good or really, really bad, and there is no in between.
James, the guy who played James, Adrian Rollins, who I was actually pretty sure that was what his name was, and then I thought I was making it up, but it actually is his name, was 43.
Uh-huh.
So there we go. Uh-huh. Let's cast a 43-year-old as a 21-year-old. But in the movie's defense, their actual birth dates weren't revealed until the last book. You never actually knew when James and Lily were born. until the last book was released and they had their gravestones. And now I'm going to look up how old David Thewlis was as Professor Lupin. Because I'm down this rabbit hole and here I'll stay.
Here we go.
He was... Okay, so he... Oh, he's my mom's age. He was born in 1963.
Sorry to your mom for Christine revealing your age and birth year.
He was 38 when he filmed Prisoner of Azkaban. Oh, well, no, actually, he was 40 then, because I did the math wrong. He was 40. I was going to say that was funny, considering his character would be the same age that he died in when he started filming the movies, but he was 40.
Uh-huh. So. Well.
I mean, that's not unstandard. But, you know, the actors who are older playing younger also have to look younger.
It's not... It is unstandard. It's... When it comes to teenagers or young 20s, they usually have someone older. When it comes to adults, they usually have people
that's
who are
true.
Younger.
That... Okay, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Also, too, though, I mean, when was this? 2001?
2001, The Sorcerer's Stone came out.
Yeah. I feel like back in the day, even back then, people used to look older than how they look now. You know what I, do you know what I mean?
I
feel
don't
like
know.
I feel like 30, like 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 15, 20 years and beyond
but
ago.
Is that just our
looked,
perspective as younger people?
No,
back then?
there's an actual thing about it. This is completely off topic, so just like Google it if you're not sure or whatever later. But there is something to people back in the day used to look older than they do now. I'll give you this one example: the Golden Girls. Do you know that they are all supposed to be like in their 50s, except for the mother?
The Golden Girls.
You never watched The Golden Girls?
No.
Okay.
I saw
Jurassic Park
for the first
like,
time
right?
yesterday.
But you know what they looked like, right?
Yeah.
They were all supposed to be in like their 50s. And they were. Because if you do...
I would have thought they were in their 60s.
If you do the math...
Not even. I would have thought they were in their... keep going.
If you do the math, like they were all around that age. And they all looked... I thought they all looked like easily upper 60s.
Did they have like the white, curly, old people hair? No offense to actual old people. But like my...
They... Yeah.
I might be
look this up.
The two shows
I
in my head.
Look this up. I don't want to like go too far into this because it's completely off topic. But when we have a chance, look it up. It's a thing. Like look up Audrey Hepburn when she was 17. Like she looked like a 25-year-old woman. Like I'm telling you, there's a thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at. Oh wow.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
Another thing that I was actually when I was reading the article, they were talking about. How to watch the series. I thought HBO Max was just going to be Max, but
it,
rebranded.
It is. It's going to be Max. I think that's because that they're adding other streamings to
but
it.
But this is what is confusing me, that it'll be on Max once the series... Oh, once the series is ready. The service launches May 23rd and has three price tiers. That's what confused me. I'm like... HBO Max has already been launched, so is Max a separate entity now?
No, they're just rebranding as Max.
Because they're
adding more streaming services and more more price tiers.
Oh, okay,
because
I was going to say, I'm going to buy another streaming service.
No. They're just rebranding.
Okay, because then they shouldn't have really said the service launches. They should have said the rebrand or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I guess. They're merging, I forget which ones, but they're merging with one or two other...
Okay,
streamings.
Well, if they're not going to be on HBO, well, that at least cuts out some questionable clauses.
Right, because that's the next thing that we were going to say. Because, you know, because it's HBO, there needs to be gratuitous sex. And
which it is not Harry Potter.
Which, right, because how would that... Who would be naked?
No one. Well, what are we, Harry in the bathtub in the Goblet of Fire,
yes.
When Moaning Myrtle is being such a freaking creep?
Yes.
Oh, Harry, you're there in the tub. I'm going to spy on you now. I watched when you got in. I don't know if she said that. I might have made that.
Something like that.
She probably would have.
He's going to come up for air and she's going to be naked, waiting.
themselves won't have their little cloaks.
They won't have their little cloaks.
That's what it'll be.
Yep.
Little, but
little house elf dicks.
Ew. No. I was actually going to say, in the vein of house elves, we would be introduced to characters that we would never would have been introduced before. Like, Winky the house elf was entirely cut.
That's right.
Did she annoy the shit out of me? Yeah, she did. But she was important to the plot.
That's true, because this also says that they're going to be very faithful to the books.
And then we'll actually be able to see how faithful they are, because you got 10 years to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, it's 10 consecutive years. They're just going to be filming, like, constantly. But I think it'll be cool, because there are things that I really loved from the books that were cut from the movies. And I am a person who completely understands books and movies are two separate entities.
Right.
One is the source material, but also the movie is not the book, and people need to deal with that.
Yeah.
A TV show, however, gives you plenty of room, because you have episodes that can span for a longer period of time, and so there's less of an excuse
to remove
stuff, unless it's like a stupid throwaway scene, then no one needs that. But like,
or we can cut a little bit of the Quidditch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. But like, they cut in Prisoner of Azkaban, which was so important to the end of the book, the entire backstory about how Sirius and Lupin were werewolf and animagus, mm-hmm. and how James became one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it also, it humanized James, because I think if you just watch the movies, you think he's this villain. But no, he was like, hey, my best friend is going through pain every month. I should do something about that.
Right.
And then everyone's like, oh, well, but Snape, he bullied Snape. I'm like, but also they don't explain anything beyond that. They cut in Order of the Phoenix, Harry going to Grimmauld Place in the fireplace and like asking about it after he goes in the Pensieve and sees all Snape's memories. And they're explaining, like, yeah, James matured. They're like, he grew up and realized that was stupid.
Right.
They were like, yeah, he had some special occasions to hex Snape, but he became less of a bully and became more of an adult. So I think like those are cool things that could be put in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, in terms of cast, particularly regarding the adult cast, if people complain about Hagrid not being Robbie Coltrane, they're going to have to shut up and deal with it.
Yeah.
Same regarding Alan Rickman as Snape.
Right.
We know that there's no more perfect a man to play Snape as Alan Rickman, or more perfect a man to play Hagrid as Robbie Coltrane, because he was literally who J.K. Rowling was thinking of as she was writing the character. But let them rest in peace. Let them have somebody new take on the role and try a different approach to playing them.
And this rant is brought to you by people who complained about
Michael Gambon.
Michael Gambon when he died.
No, Richard Harris.
Michael Gambon when he took over for
Richard Harris.
After he died. Because, and you know, they both did wonderful jobs as Dumbledore, and I think if Richard Harris couldn't be Dumbledore, then Michael Gambit was perfect.
I think they were the perfect Dumbledores for the times they appeared in the films.
Yeah.
Dumbledore of Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets was a much kinder figure. You don't know that much about him at that point. So all you see him as is this figure that Harry is kind of like taken on as like a grandfatherly figure. And that's how Richard Harris played him.
Right.
But also, Richard Harris was sick. He died from Hodgkin's disease. Mm-hmm. He was in his 70s. He wasn't that old. And you have to think, like, he was legitimately sick. He couldn't do some of the physical things that the role demanded.
Right.
As the series went on, because they filmed the films over 10 years. And he would have been in his 80s at that point. And the whole, like, everyone's issue with Michael Gambon stems solely from, Harry, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? That was a director's choice, let us mind. Maybe Michael Gambon played it that way and the director didn't say, you know, maybe we should change it. He was like, perfect.
Right.
Directors direct.
Exactly. And also,
it's funny. I didn't get that mad by that. I love that scene.
And we got, look at all the memes that we got from that.
So was it a bad thing? No.
We can just look back and laugh, and who cares?
Yeah. So, and I think Michael Gambon had, like, a quirky quality about him that was really good for certain scenes.
Yeah.
Like, there, I don't know if it was a cut scene or not. No, it wasn't. It was in Goblet of Fire, because I actually just watched that movie a few weeks ago. He, after, like, Cedric dies and everything, Dumbledore goes to the Gryffindor dormitory, and he's, like, talking about how he was like, I never liked these curtains. Set them on fire in my fourth year. Accidentally, of course. And I'm like, I can't really see Richard Harris delivering that line. I'm sure he could. But, like, I just associate that quirky quality with Michael Gambon.
Yeah, I can see that, that being a thing.
Sure. He would be the new Umbridge, because they could easily just get Imelda Staunton to do it again. Like, just get her to do it again.
No, I feel like everyone should be, if they're gonna do this whole reboot, I think everybody should be different.
Yeah. I mean, am I going to want to see someone else play Professor McGonagall other than Maggie Smith? No, but also Maggie Smith is a badass and should deserve the rest of her life to live as she wants and not have to replay that character. She was the perfect McGonagall, but I can also accept, I know I don't sound like it, but I can also accept that someone else will play her role.
Yeah.
I'm curious about who's going to be Harry, Ron, and Hermione, because they were the face of the franchise.
Yeah, they have big shoes to fill, whoever they are.
Rupert Grinch could be Arthur Weasley.
He could be Arthur Weasley. He could play his own dad.
That would be wonderful. If that happened, I would be so happy.
Yeah, I would watch. If they announced that as the casting, I would watch. I said I wasn't going to watch, but if they say that Rupert Grint plays Arthur Weasley, I'd watch.
And then they could, like, flesh out some of the other characters. Like, we can change the fact that Cho Chang wasn't the one who betrayed Dumbledore's army. It was her dumb, annoying friend, Marietta.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like Ginny really in the books or the movie, but she has more substance to her in the books.
Yeah.
Like, give her that. Also in the same vein as Fleur. She has way more substance in the books than in the movies.
Yeah.
And Fleur is a really great character, but you don't see her that much in the movies because she was only in the fourth one and then, like, the tiny bit of the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last two, because she was in both. But I don't think she had lines in Deathly Hallows Part 1.
If she did, I don't remember them.
Yeah, I haven't watched that in a long time.
A testament to how they utilized her.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So one of us is definitely going to watch. One of us probably won't watch.
Probably not, unless the casting is right.
Well, either way. Speaking of books and movies, our next topic was going to be book scenes that made us cry and movie scenes that made us cry.
Yes.
I'll go first. As far as movies, because I said before, I just watched Goblet of Fire. Every freaking time I watch that movie and Harry comes back from the graveyard with Cedric and everyone's playing their happy, cheerful music, and then you realize Cedric's dead.
Yeah.
And the dad comes over and he's like, that's my boy. I freaking cry like a baby.
Yeah.
There was another scene that I don't remember what it was, but it made me cry, but it also was like, it probably wasn't that effective if I can't remember it. But, yeah, Cedric's dad crying over him, like, that one gets me every time.
But I just actually saw a meme about this yesterday. It was, like, when Cedric is dead, and then you see his dad, and he's, like, freaking out, like, my boy, and then you see, like, Harry, and he's also freaking out, like, Cedric, and then you see Dumbledore, and he's just, like,
wait, really?
He's just, like, whatever.
I have to go back and watch that now.
Just like this, yeah, this is what happens.
Alright, you do your movie scene, and then we'll do book scenes.
Actually, my book and movie memories muddle, so you can tell me if this is from the book or the movie. But I cried most for Fred's death.
Aww.
Yeah, no, this was in the book because I remember, like, it took me a second.
You don't see Fred's death in the movie.
It took me a second to realize that he was dead. And then once I once it clicked in my head that that's what I was reading, I had to put the book down and was like, I just had to bawl about it.
Poor Fred.
And, you know, Dobby's death, Lupin and Tonks hit hard also. That was the book.
You know what's a sad scene? Well, actually, maybe you'll say it. I don't know.
What?
Did you have another one, or that was it?
Were you going to talk about the thing with the... I know exactly what you're going to say.
It's not a... I don't cry because it's a blink and you'll miss kind of thing.
This is because I pointed this out to Christine. There was like a Tumblr post about this years ago. Someone pointed out in the movies, at the Battle of Hogwarts, where we find out that Harry's actually alive after we thought that he was dead. There's like this really quick moment where you see George go to turn to, presumably to tell Fred, like, hey, Harry's alive. And then he turns back because he realizes that Fred's not right behind him.
That's so sad.
Because you see him turn around and then turn right back. And so we assume that that's what he went to go do.
You see him. He also was opening his mouth to say something.
Yeah.
And then he stops.
Yeah.
Ever
since we noticed that, or ever since I saw that Tumblr post and then go back and watch it and then notice that actually is a thing, that makes me go just like clutch at my chest,
clutch at
my non-existent pearls. No, clutch my chest and just like
I'm curious if that was a director's choice or an actor's choice. Like, did Oliver Phelps just instinctively turn around to say that? Or was the director like, yo, Oliver, can you do this?
Speaking of the Phelps brothers, like, there was an interview at some point, I think, where they talked about how hard it was for them to film one of the other ones.
Was it an actual interview you watched? Because I've heard so many conflicting things that Oliver plays George, James plays Fred.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was that they actually had to, like, spray stuff in his eyes to make it look like he was crying.
I don't think they actually cried about it, but I think that they still felt it really hard because it felt like they were... Because they're really brothers, obviously.
What? They're brothers? What? Yes, there was.
What did she say?
She's like, are you really twins? And they're like, no, yeah, no, we just met at the audition. It was crazy how much we looked alike.
No, but because it felt like they were losing their brother. So, yeah. And then thinking of that, and then that makes it all the more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Too.
My book scene that makes me cry. The first time I read through Deathly Hallows, I legit was locked in my basement for 10 hours because there's a reason for this. Because when I read Order of the Phoenix, I read it over a period of 3 days and I was, I shit you not, like 100 pages away from finding out that Sirius Black dies. And my friend Beth, who was so lucky, she was talking to me over a phone, calls me and she's like, Christine, I know who dies. And she hadn't even gotten the book yet. Sirius dies. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
So that after that, when I read Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows, I would not communicate with the outside world until I finished those books.
Yeah, that probably was smart.
Yeah, so, well, it didn't even help because my brother comes home. He had to be in college. I don't know what the hell he was doing at home. Because the last book came out. Maybe, yeah, no, he had to be in college at this point. I have no idea why he was at my mom's house. But he also hadn't read a book since, like, the fourth one. He's like, oh, yeah, I heard that Dobby dies. I'm like, Dobby dies? He goes, maybe I was wrong. Thanks, John.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
Do you know who whose death didn't make me sad?
Snape's!
I'm so sorry.
You're so snarry.
I'm so sorry, Snape lovers, but yeah, I wasn't sad about
it. I was surprised. I would definitely had a, oh wow, shit moment that they went there.
Yeah,
because
his
death was violent.
Yeah. No,
it was well written.
I definitely had an oh shit moment.
Did I shed a tear?
No. But anyway, Fred's death, I think, for me, was shock. I was like, wow, they went there. Like, he legit got crushed by part of the castle. Yeah. I think Percy, like, everyone pretty much universally, like, hates Percy. But his whole, like, he had just reunited with his family, yeah. finally realized he was wrong. Yeah. And then he watches his brother get crushed.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, there was a ghost of Fred's last smile on his face as he, you know, lays there dead. I was like, that's not cool. So that kind of, like, started it.
Right.
And then a lot of stuff happens. You have the, oh, shit, Snape dies. Then you get to the Great Hall when there's, like, the lull in between because Harry has, like, an hour to turn himself in. And then you're in the Great Hall, and Harry's like, Lupin and Tonks were laying next to George, appearing to be sleeping. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. They're sleeping next to a dead body. And I keep reading, and then I'm like, wait a minute. And then I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I think I actually threw the book.
I don't doubt that.
I threw the book across the basement because I was so pissed off. Uh-huh. And I'm like, no, I'm still not at the crying point. Because I was just mad at that point. And then you go through, like, the whole
Can we clarify memories. For people listening? Because it sounds like you're just sitting in a dim basement. Like, your basement is, a whole room.
No, maybe, yeah. My mom has a really nice basement.
Yeah.
It's a finished basement and everything.
It's a finished basement. It's not,
like, I was spending, on the comfy
she,
couch.
She didn't go so far to, like, keep herself from the outside world that she sat in a dim... Didn't she pay?
Yeah, like when my brother came and spoiled part of the book for me, I think he was looking for food. So obviously there was food in the basement. Yeah. Speaking of, at this point in time, I think my dad came downstairs. I was like, oh, we're going to get pizza. Do you want to come? And I just kind of peered out behind the book. It's like, I'm not leaving this house until it's over. And my dad's like, okay, we'll bring you stuff back.
Bring something for me.
Bring me some pizza, Baba.
I shall eat when I am hungry.
I wouldn't leave the house, and I was almost done at that point. So, but they weren't gonna wait for me. So then you go through all, like, the Snape's memories and everything, and then you go to the forest scene, and then Harry takes the snitch and he goes, I open at the close, and I'm like, oh, okay, something's coming. Mm. And then his parents appear, and Sirius, and Lupin, and Harry goes to Sirius, and he's like, does it hurt? And Sirius is like, dying? No, it's quicker than falling asleep. And then he goes to Lupin, and he's like, I'm sorry that you died and never wanted it, your son. And Lupin's like, no, he'll understand why we're not there anymore. And then I was just like, throw the book again, crying. Like, it's throw the book moment. But yeah, that was my crying moment in the book. Also, and then when my parents came back from having dinner, my dad asked me, like, what happened at the end of the book. And he's like, did Ron and Hermione get married? Like, yes, Dad, they did.
Yeah, they got married at 17 years old.
Well, you know, in the craptastic epilogue, yeah.
Right, epilogue. I almost forgot about that epilogue. Oh, my God.
But, yeah, that was a journey.
Sure was.
Because also, I was 17 when those books came out. The last book came out. So I was the same age as Harry during all of that. Mm. And I started really getting into the series when I was like 13. So it had been 4 or 5 years of my life. So that I remember dramatic Christine. I believe this was the time I had a DeviantArt website, mm-hmm. and I had to write a whole post about it.
That's a deep cut DeviantArt.
Yeah, I'm like, that's how old I am.
Do the math, kids.
Yeah, so that's how old I was. I did not have, I actually had a Tumblr at one point. I wrote on it like once. I was gonna say I didn't write it on my Tumblr page because I don't think Tumblr was a thing in 2007, or maybe it was. I don't know.
I feel like it came out more like 2010.
Yeah, so three years pre Tumblr. Mm. Ouch. I just closed my pen into my face. Ouch.
3 years pre-Tumblr. Ouch.
I wasn't reacting to the timeline. I was reacting to hitting myself in the face with the pen.
She's playing with her pen and she hit herself in the face. Because that's what you do.
Obviously.
As one does.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh my God. So what's next?
Other career paths. For Snape, there were other things to do than become a stupid Death Eater,
yes.
you know?
Yes,
Hogwarts had career advice.
I thought
An orer.
Ooh.
Because it could go one of two ways. He could be completely reformed and actually, you know, catch the bad wizards and, like, do right by them.
Yeah.
Or he could be completely corrupt and just lock people up,
wizards up left and right. That would be so cruel, honestly.
Just like, oh, you, accidentally broke somebody's leg? I don't know.
You're going to Azkaban! The Dementor's kiss for you!
Yeah,
like, I actually really have enjoyed that particular
You know, so one could be great. And,
or really bad.
And he would become a much better wizard as a, like, a person.
A much person, better human.
Human. Or it can go terribly wrong and he would just be stuck. The corrupt cop, basically.
I would love that, honestly.
It would be entertaining to see, for sure.
I'll come out of fanfiction hiding to write that.
What else? What do you got?
He could have worked at an apothecary.
Okay.
Because he was really good at potions. Like, yeah. That was his thing. Yeah. Apothecary sells the potion supplies.
Okay.
Or an alchemist, which I think is more like metal mixing and stuff, but still, it's in that same vein. He could have worked in Borgin and Burks. That wasn't that deeply thought out.
I also thought he could have been a curse breaker.
Ooh, interesting.
Because, you know, he's good at the spells and the stuff.
And he is good in the dark arts.
Right. So I feel like that would be, right, like that would be, you know, utilizing his dark arts
for knowledge. Good.
For good things.
Yeah.
He could be a writer. I feel like he could write about his experience with Lily and James and all that. And
I would throw that book out a window, but still, he could be good at it.
Good outlet.
Yeah, that's true.
For his pain and suffering.
He could have a gossip column. Instead of like, Dear Annie, Dear Severus. Sincerely, Severus.
Yes! No, and then instead of, you know, taking his pain out on 11-year-olds, he could write about it.
That's like, what writers do.
Right, exactly. Like a diary, but other people read it and pay to read it and stuff.
I'm just imagining, like, 37-year-old Snape opening his book like, Dear Diary, today the Potter boy looks so much like his father that I resisted the urge to jab a toad up his nose.
He strutted
class.
Just like he did.
My father didn't strut. And nor do I.
Well, no, but I can see him, like, younger as a kid, like, in the thick of it, and being like, Dear Diary, Lily rejected me again.
Because I called her a mudblood.
Called her a slur. And now she doesn't like me.
She'll never love me. I want a fan fiction about it.
And then I also wrote down a couple of things that I thought would just be really funny. Like, what if he did something really mundane?
What if he's a stripper?
That's not where I was going. Why?
He's got long hair.
I said mundane, and Chrissy's like, stripper!
I'm sure that is a mundane life for actual strippers.
What?
I'm sorry.
Exotic dancer.
But no, like, I mean, when you think about it, it is mundane just to go to your job. And it is a job.
Yes!
Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
I was gonna say. I was gonna say trash collector.
Well, then he'd have to throw himself out.
You forgot to separate the cardboard from the plastic again.
Detention. 10 points from Gryffindor.
I'm
broken.
Woo. Okay. I got some other stuff, but we can move on.
Oh, I want to know what the other one is.
Well, I just wrote one more thing, and it would be bus driver.
He could drive the night bus. I'm like actually crying.
Okay.
All right.
Let's move on.
I mean, speaking of mundane and, you know, not cool things, you know, you may be cool, but you'll never be Severus Snape cool, which is the meme we found. It's
That's our meme of the day.
I believe it's from the... No, that's not the Yule Ball. That's from the sixth movie during, like, one of the Slug Club parties. And it's Snape just, like, peering out from behind these green curtains.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Just kind of looking constipated. And and it literally just says, you may be cool, but you'll never be Severus Snape. And it's just, you know how, like, doing drugs isn't cool? Being Snape isn't cool. That's my take on that.
So you'd have a dare... program, but it'll it would be a snare program. Don't do Snape. This episode has truly rolled into chaos, and I'm here for it.
I love chaos. I want all the chaos.
You wouldn't think by how much we apparently love chaos that we'd be Hufflepuffs.
Okay, but Hufflepuffs can love chaos too. Have you never seen Puffs?
That's true. No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so good. I wish it would come back. It's so good.
Okay, well, I guess that's a good note to end it.
That was a journey. That was my favorite journey. At least in this 3-episode long podcast.
Yep.
Which has been like a mini journey.
It has. So, alright.
On that note, I am Christine.
And I'm Christine.
And this was The Scathing Serpent.
See you next time.